Hi, you're listening to the My Favorite Elliott Smith Song podcast, the show that's all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. Now, I want to keep this introduction quite brief, as this interview is a little longer than in previous episodes. But if you'll hear me out and spare a few extra minutes, I think there's a good reason for it. This edition is with Ross Harris, the director of three Elliott Smith music videos. First, he did Coming Up Roses. He then worked with Heat Miser on Plainclothes Man before directing perhaps Elliott's most iconic video, the one for Miss Misery. You may also have seen his acting talents, as he was the robot hand salesman in the 1998 documentary about Elliott called Strange Parallel. But much more than those admittedly very impressive credentials, Ross was a friend of Elliott's. He knew him well and was kind enough to share some of his anecdotes for this interview. So hopefully you enjoy this slightly extended chat, and I'll be back again on the other side with a quick word on our next guest.
Well, my pick for my favorite Elliott Smith song is No Name Number 3, and that's off of Roman Candle. The whole premise of trying to pick a favorite Elliott Smith song is really difficult because he has a lot of songs, and also it's such a great range. I just feel like No Name Number 3 is just, there's something to the melody that's, it's very simple sounding, but it's actually kind of a, you know, complex melody that he's interweaving there. And it just, there's something in it that just evokes like emotion in me that just, it just gets me every time. We arrive too late. A mouse world burning. I turned off the light. So why it's really special to me is it's just Elliott distilled to his purest qualities, as far as like, it's just him with a, you know, whatever four track recorder in a basement with a guitar, and he's just laying down, you know, his soul right there. And no one's, he's not under a microscope at that point. He's not under the spotlight. It's just, he's free in a lot of ways, free to just create this beautiful, beautiful little song. It's just pure Elliott, and it just really speaks to me. And I just think that's really, really one of my, you know, one of my favorite eras of his music is that early stuff when he was making his first statement. My go-to thought when someone says, oh, you were friends with Elliott Smith, or oh, you work with Elliott Smith, I just think of Roman Candle. I think of his, you know, first two albums, really, because it just, like, I just think of him and a guitar, and that's all he needed. You're a witness, you see me interrupt a good old
fashion. And when you hear No Name Number 3 now, does it take you back to a particular place? And if it does, what kind of place does it take you to?
You know, it's what Elliott's, his music does for people. It just, it gives you that, you know, whenever you're in a mood to where you just want to feel, you know, that sort of bittersweet emotions of life, of the trials and tribulations of life, and but it, things are difficult, but yet it's a gift that we're here and being able to be with each other. Like, that's how I feel when I listen to Elliott's music. It's funny when I hear him described as like this, oh, that music's depressing, or he's depressed. Like, that music actually is really inspiring to me, because it makes me feel like life is difficult, but it's worth it. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of nostalgia, and there's a little bit of getting into your feelings, I guess, which I feel is a good thing. I think people need to be in touch with how they're feeling. So that's a good, I mean, if you want to all of a sudden get in touch with, you know, how you're feeling, put on No Name Number 3. And if that doesn't get you there, then I don't know. I don't know what will. Everyone is gone, home to oblivion.
First time you came across Elliot Smith was when you were coming up with ideas for Coming Up Roses, that video that you worked with Vaughn. Can you tell us about the first time you met him and how that all came about?
I had to write an idea for to do the video for Coming Up Roses, and I knew like a couple other friends of mine that, you know, were, you know, video directors were also writing ideas. So I listened to this music and I immediately had this intuition. I said, you know, this is an artist that isn't going to want an idea on paper that says, you do this, you know, you're going to drive a car and there's, you know, there's going to be a deer in the road and that his eyes are going to be, you know, lightning or shooting out, you know, it's like, that's going to scare Elliot away, you know? And so basically I didn't write anything. I asked his manager, who had sent me the stuff, I said, hey, can you give me his phone number? Because I'd like to talk to him about my idea. It's something more, it's verbal. I can't really express it on paper. Yeah, I just explained to him that my video idea was that he should come down and I'll pick him up at the airport and I'll bring him to my house and that I don't live in Los Angeles. And what was important about that is, you know, back then in the 90s, people from the Pacific Northwest, that whole scene of Portland, Seattle, that scene, they considered coming to Los Angeles as like selling out. Like, oh, you're going to go down to Los Angeles and make a music video. What do you think you're Axl Rose now or something, you know? So it was a hard sell to get someone like Elliot to want to come down and do that. And so I just said, hey, you know, I actually don't live in Los Angeles. I live an hour north of Los Angeles, kind of in the countryside. And so I'll pick you up at the airport. I'll bring you to my place and then we'll just work on the video day by day, come up with an idea together. I have a camera and let's just go out and film something that we think is interesting. And he agreed to it. And so when my first time I met Elliot was picking him up at the baggage claim at LAX. What's the time of day? Blushing in the sky. Everyone is a tie. So the next time you worked with Elliot was on the video for the Heatmiser song, Plainclothes Man, before then going on to do the video for the song Miss Misery. At what point in the process did you find out that Miss Misery had been nominated for the Oscar? Like right, like the day before we were about to film. You know, it's funny because I'm sure the image that people have in his mind is like he's this, you know, grunge slacker punk god that, you know, doesn't care about, you know, validation or awards or something. But no, he was very you know, very pleased to be nominated. You know, it was a nice shot in the arm to make you say, okay, you know, I am a great songwriter and it's great that people are recognizing it. And, you know, awards at the end of the day, they're meaningless on one level, but on another level, it's great to be recognized for things. So when he showed up to the video that day, he, you know, he had picked that white suit. He showed up and he was ready to go. And he was like, okay, let's do this video.
From that point, from the Miss Misery video for the rest of Elliot's career, were there ever any kind of times that you were going to work on something big with him again, or did you just sort of lose touch as his career went on?
We lost touch a little bit. I mean, I would see him around a bit, and then that was when he wasn't doing as well. And the interesting thing is, when he wasn't doing that well physically and emotionally, he was a bit embarrassed, and he kind of shied away a little bit. But I would see him every once in a while. Probably 6 months before he passed, we reconnected. He lived in a house next door to some friends of mine in Echo Park. And so I was over there one day, and I was like, I'm going to go see what Elliot's doing. And I went over, and he just happened to be pulling into the driveway. And it was funny because he pulled into the driveway, and we were talking. And then I said, what have you been up to? And he said, oh, I'm building a new studio out in the valley. I said, oh, I'll like to come see it sometime. He goes, let's go now. And his girlfriend's like, well, we just came from there. And he goes, yeah, but I want to show it to Ross. And then we saw each other about 2 weeks before he passed. He came to a premiere of a film that I did. And, you know, we talked a little bit, and that was it. He was gone a few weeks after that.
How did you hear about the news of his passing?
Oddly enough, I was in Portland. I was up in Portland working on a project, and my wife called me and gave me the news. For some reason, I had booked an Amtrak train ticket back down from Portland, which is like a couple days journey on the train. And it turned out to be really good for me because I was able to just sit on this train and watch the scenery go by and see all these little train trips are so interesting to me, as far as like it's just a cross-section of people that normally wouldn't be with each other, but they're traveling across country together. It's like a forced road trip. And everyone that I watched seemed to me to be like a little Elliot Smith song, you know, like the elderly couple together and the young punk kid, you know, traveling by himself. And it just gave me a couple of days to kind of try to put my emotions into the proper order and feel, you know, as close to being okay about it as I could.
Do you think he would be proud about his legacy and what he's left behind?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was proud when I last saw him. I mean, the sad thing is, he really, to me, it felt like he was getting things together, and I, you know, obviously, he was definitely making an effort. I mean, if you look at his autopsy report, there was nothing in his system that shouldn't have been there, besides, you know, something that was prescribed to him that maybe should or should not have, you know, or wasn't working correctly. But I think he was, you know, he was incredibly proud of the body of work that he had done up to that point. He seemed incredibly enthusiastic. He had built this amazing little studio. He was sticking to his convictions. I know that there was bands when we were in there that day, Elliot wasn't working. There was another band that, you know, a tiny little indie band that didn't have money to get into a nice studio, was in there working for free on Elliot's dime because that's what he wanted it for. You know, I think he had a great future ahead of him, but he also knew that he was leaving, if need be, he was leaving behind an amazing legacy.
And before we wrapped up the interview, Ross just wanted to add one more thing.
To me, like when I want to remember Elliot and remember him just on the level of a friend, I go and listen to this Hank Williams Jr. Cover that he did, because not only is it a really fun cover, but that it just like perfectly expresses his dry, fun sense of humor. And just it just gives you that feeling of what it was like to be with Elliot when he was just sitting around, fooling around on a guitar, which he was doing all the time. Like he would get a guitar in his hands and he would just play every single Beatles song. He was like a human jukebox that way. He just was like compulsive of just constantly playing songs that he loved. And he also loved, you know, fun outlaw country, stuff like that. So I think if you ever like feeling like, oh, what was Elliot like? What was it like to be, you know, around him in a candid moment? I think that song, all my rowdy friends, is like that. Just go to YouTube, turn that on, put some headphones on, and you'll be there.
All my rowdy friends have settled down. They seem to be more into laid back songs. Nobody wants to get drunk and get loud. Everybody just wants to go back home.
Thanks then to Ross Harris for being so generous with his time. And if you've got a moment, do check out Elliot's cover of Hank Williams Jr.'s song All My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down. You can find a couple of versions on YouTube. And that's about all we have time for on this episode. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks when we'll have Sadie Dupuis from the band Speedy Ortiz speaking to us. Hope to see you then.